Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is why this day is appointed for Christians to gather, to hear the Word of God preached, to have the sacrament of the altar administered to them, the Christ Mass. The day is named for the service that is given on the day, with the occasion being the nativity or birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday and last night, we heard the familiar story of Luke chapter 2 with its affirmation of Scripture being fulfilled in the virgin birth, the birth in Bethlehem, the angels singing, and the glory of God coming to earth, the shepherds believing the word and glorifying God. Today we hear the Apostle John's declaration of the birth of Jesus. And John takes a far longer view of the incarnation and birth of Jesus than we are familiar with Luke. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word? John's Gospel tells us if we listen. Pastor Bakey has rightly said from this pulpit that no single word of Holy Scripture is insignificant, that the Spirit inspired each and every word. This goes for what you have heard this morning. The first verses of this gospel lesson, in fact, the first verses of this gospel, teach us about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and how to regard this word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. If we've been paying attention to our Advent series, you know that this is Old Testament language for the second person of the Holy Trinity. That by the time Christ is born, it was also commonly used as a synonym for Messiah or the Christ. John's Gospel then makes sure by calling it the Word, adding the definite article, that this is not some sort of generic phrase or force or power, but the Word is unique, specific, definite, personal. Jesus is the Word. The use of the word was, is also important, but we might not catch it. It's talking about an ongoing thing, not just a one-time thing in the past, that Jesus has always been and will always be the Word. That there never was a time when he wasn't. That the Word was with God. That word with, that not that there's a part of God as if the Trinity was being divided up as some kind of like pie, but that the Word was with God, that he is distinct in person from the Father and the Spirit, and yet he is also in perfect unity with the Father and the Spirit, all with that word with. The Word was God. He is of the same substance as the Father, just as our creeds confess that this too is from all eternity, that there never was a time when Jesus, the Word, wasn't God. That is the divine person and the divine natures we come to know it of Jesus. True God, begotten from the Father from all eternity. And now John moves right on in the next verse to the works of Jesus. He confesses that creation is attributed to him, that all things that were created by the Word. That this, in fact, fits with all of the Old Testament descriptions of the Word of the Lord, the Word of Yahweh that we heard in Advent. that the gospel is here teaching us of Jesus' power and his love and his care in both creation and preservation. And John then confesses, in him was life. That is to say, life is his, and it comes from him. That everything that has life has it from the Word, who is from the beginning with God and is God. The New Testament testifies of this all the time, confessing things like Colossians 1, which says, all things have their being in Christ. Or Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. Or as Hebrews puts it, that Christ upholds all things by the power of his might. Then the gospel points that this life was the light of all men. This is taken to mean that the great things that were man's, that the perfect creation, were indeed from the Word, who is life and light. That yes, this includes understanding and reason, but most especially it includes things of truth, of righteousness, innocence, holiness. And then when John brings in this darkness, the gospel moves very quickly into this fall into sin. Because before there was sin, there was no darkness, not in the sense that John is speaking of it. But look what Christ, the Word, does. He enters into the darkness. You see that Christ, who has been born in Bethlehem, has been engaged in saving mankind and providing with truth and righteousness and innocence and holiness ever since humanity lost all of it through sin. Now the text in John 1 leaves the Old Testament history and introduces John the Baptist, a man sent from God, not to be confused with Jesus, who is God, that he bears witness about the light, which is to say, John came to preach about Jesus, his person, that is, who Jesus is, and also his work, which is summarized here in John's gospel as the idea of bringing light into darkness. That life and that light spoken of from of old are now spoken with the idea that Jesus comes to save his people. It is a light that is given, it says, to all. Which is another way of saying that there is not a single person capable of producing this kind of light on their own. Original sin has made the whole world unable to know Jesus, and sinful unbelief then causes the whole world in its natural state now to reject him. That the Word incarnate alone provides this life and this light which is from himself, his person and his work, as we heard especially in that lesson from Titus chapter 3. Then the Word's work is described over and against the world's ignorance, its sin, its darkness, its wrath, its misery, and ultimately its death. That the Word, Jesus, makes believers. That is, Jesus brings truth to replace ignorance. He imputes righteousness over and against the world's sin. He brings the light of his grace into the face of the darkness of sin and guilt. That Jesus, the Word, brings consolation against the fear and the misery of this life. And he brings life and salvation in the face of what this world has to offer, which is death and damnation. That those who believe in his name, that is, those who hear the witness to the light that is made through the preaching of the Word, those who trust in Jesus, that they have been born of God. Again, what is taught in Titus 3, he saved us through the washing of renewal and regeneration. It is his work, that there is no effort of man, no willfulness of man, no determination of man that will count in this, but only the grace of God in the Word of God, Christ Jesus our Lord. And this, of course, today as we sit here in these pews, hearing these words and trusting firmly in this incarnate Son of God, our Savior, is a great encouragement for gratitude to God. For such grace is appropriate here if you trust in Jesus. The hearing of preaching is one of those objective examples of God's grace that has been shown to you. Because it is by that preached word that God gives faith, gives new life, and sustains us in this life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That here is that great moment in history where God became man. God became man and lived with us. The divine second person of the Holy Trinity willingly, he wanted to, and he did it. He assumed a human nature with all of its weaknesses, all of its frailties, and yet without sin. This is the boundless grace and the boundless love of our God, that the eternal Word, the Son, would come down from the throne of his divine majesty to embrace this miserable and wretched condition for our sake. That from that moment on, from that point of history forward, the second person would always and eternally be both true God and true man, with two natures, and yet still only one person. That this is a strange, mysterious thing indeed, but it is the cost of bringing light, the light of salvation, into a world that is lost in darkness of sin and death. It was what was necessary, and what God had determined to do in order to save you, and yes, especially you. And whenever we hear of Christ doing something for the whole world, that is most especially to include you. We have seen his glory, John writes. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. That this incarnation, this assuming flesh, did not remove his divinity or diminish it or weaken it. But instead the evangelist writes about how they beheld the glory of Yahweh. The glory of the Word of Yahweh. The second person of the Holy Trinity in the flesh. That they did so by beholding his grace and his truth. That the glory of Jesus showed through in his gracious works of teaching, the miraculous signs pointing to who he is, in the revelation by the Father and the Spirit at his baptism, in his becoming white like light at his transfiguration, in his final triumphant work of suffering and dying for the salvation of sinners, and yes, by the glorious proof of the resurrection and his ascension back to the Father. These glorious acts reveal that this God in the flesh is still absolutely, fully God, full of glory. But they also reveal that this glorious majesty is also full of grace and truth, that it is life and light for the world. The lost world of sin and lies and wrath and death and darkness. This is who the Word is. He is Jesus Christ, true God from eternity, distinct from the Father and the Spirit, and yet united with them as well. Creator of all things, the one who is light and life, the one thus then that who from the beginning and even right after the fall brought light into the fallen darkness. That the Word of is the God who assumed flesh for the sake of those stuck in their own misery and darkness and death and lies, that they would hear the words and the promises of God in Christ and trust in Him. And be given by God that light and that life in the fullest with grace and truth. That baby that we heard about is the eternal God come to save His people. And this season of Christmas, which has now just begun, is a great celebration of what our God has done for us and for our salvation, and what our God continues to do for us. That He is your light. He is your life. He is the truth. He is your righteousness. He is your holiness. That all faithful preaching will bear witness to this light. That you would believe in Jesus. That you would know His glory. And that you would have the fullness of His grace and truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.